Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Book of Job, where our topic is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? God has a problem with Job now. Job has asked God to come to trial, and God has a problem with that. Do you remember when Job asked for his case to be tried before God? That was in Job chapter 13 and verse 3. Let's turn back there again and read Job chapter 13 verse 3. Job says, "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case before God." When he did that, he wanted to negotiate two points with God. What two negotiating points did Job want God to agree to in order to have a fair trial? The first one is, he pleaded with God to withdraw his fearsome hand so that Job wouldn't be afraid to speak up in court. And then the second thing is, he pleaded with God to reveal to him what sin he had committed. And we'll read that in Job chapter 13 and verses 20 through 23. God, please do these two things for me. Then I will not hide myself from you. The first thing I want you to do is withdraw your hand far from me, and let not your fear make me afraid. Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, and you answer me. And then the second thing he says is verse 23. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sin. So the two negotiating points Job wanted God to agree to in order to have a fair trial was, number one, that God would withdraw his fearsome hand from Job so that Job wouldn't be afraid to speak up in court. And number two, he wanted God to reveal to him what sins he had committed. But Job didn't believe that God would darken the doors of the courthouse. We see that in verse 24 of chapter 13. This is in Job chapter 13, verse 24. Because Job says to God, "Why do you hide your face and hold me for your enemy?" So Job doesn't believe that God's going to darken the doors of the courthouse. He doesn't believe God's going to show up. He says, "Why do you hide your face?" He believes that God's just hiding from him, because God can't prove that he's really doing anything good for Job by allowing him to suffer. He doesn't believe that God is going to show up because he doesn't believe that God can point out his sins to him. So he's really charging God with being unfair because he believes that God is allowing him to suffer for no apparently good reason. And he's just saying, that's just not fair, because God, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything to deserve this. And since he doesn't believe that God is going to show up in court, Job pleads for God to make at least this concession. At least he could send a representative, a human representative, for God with more sense at least than his three friends, so that Job could argue his case with this particular representative. And we see that in Job chapter 16 and verse 21. This is Job chapter 16 and verse 21. Job says, "Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor." And then also in Job chapter 9, verse 32, Job chapter 9, verse 32, it says, "For God is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment." So he's saying, all I need is a man. Just send somebody, God, to represent you. I know you're not going to show up, but at least do me this favor. Make at least this one concession. At least send another man who has more sense than my silly three friends, so I can at least argue my case before him. But you know what? God is not at all afraid to show his face in court. So he will eventually grant Job his request to meet him face to face. But first, God grants Job his request to have a man represent him in court, and that man is named Elihu. Elihu, a much younger man than Job and his three friends, waits until all the bantering ends. You know, Eliphaz first, would say something, Job responded to him. Then Bildad would say something, Job responded to him. Then Zophar would say something, and Job responded to him. And that happened three times. They went around three times, and they never could come to an agreement because Job's three friends would say that Job had sinned. Job would say, show me my sin. They would say, the evidence of your sin is the fact that you're suffering. Job would say, no, that's not true, that God is the one who's not right. He's punishing me for no good reason because I haven't sinned. And so after all of this bantering ends, then Elihu steps into the fray as a true representative of God. Elihu was able to judge with righteous judgment. So let's pay very close attention to Elihu's arguments, because this is the same way that we should argue. We should not argue the way that Job's three friends did. We should argue the way that Elihu did. And that's why God chose him as his defense attorney, because he knew that Elihu was able to judge with righteous judgment. And so in Job chapter 32 and verse 2, we hear Elihu speaking. This is Job chapter 32 and verse 2. The wrath of Elihu was kindled against Job. Now why is this? Why is this? Why was the wrath of Elihu kindled against Job? Because Job justified himself rather than God. Bam! Right out of the gate, Elihu hits the nail on the head. So what was Job's sin in the midst of his calamities? We all have to agree that none of us knows any of Job's sins prior to his calamities, and his calamities didn't come upon him because of any sins that he committed. So it wasn't about Job sinning and therefore deserving all the suffering that he had. That is not the issue. I hope that after all of these programs, we have that nailed down, that that's not the case. And Elihu chastised the three friends for believing that, and then God chastised the three friends for believing that. So it's not about Job's sins prior to his calamities. The problem that God has is Job's sin in the midst of his calamities. And the sin that Job committed in the midst of his calamities is what Elihu points out here, and that is that Job justified himself rather than God. Now let's examine the evidence that Elihu submits to prove this point, because of course all lawyers, they're going to make their statement. They're going to have their opening statement, but then they have to submit evidence to prove their point. And this is the evidence that Elihu submits to prove his point. And speaking to Job's three friends, Elihu said, and this is in Job chapter 32, verses 6 through 22, that I am young, and you are very old. Therefore I held back, and didn't dare show you my opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. In other words, the elderly people should have wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. It is not always the great who are wise, nor the aged who understand justice. And now I'm reading in verse 12. I gave you my full attention, but there was no one who convinced Job or who answered his words among you. Not one of you answered Job's words. Beware lest you say, we have found wisdom. God may refute him, not man. Beware lest you say that. I'm not going to let you get away with that, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. I'm not going to let you say, we have found wisdom. We found the answer, that God is the one that's bringing this upon Job because of his sins. No, I'm not going to let you get away with that. And Job has not directed his words against me, so neither will I answer him with your speeches. I'm not going to talk to Job in the same way that you did, and we should not talk to people in the same way that these three supposed friends talked to Job. We should speak to people the way that Elihu is about to do. And Elihu says, never let it be said of me that I am a respecter of persons, neither will I give flattering titles to any man. This is in verse 21. Now verse 22. For I don't know how to give flattering titles, or else my maker would soon take me away. So he's saying, listen, I've already said that you guys are wrong, well, I'm going to tell Job that he's wrong too. I'm not going to flatter Job and try to smooth things over, but I'm not going to answer him the way that you guys did. I'm going straight to the point. So in dissecting Elihu's comments, we see that he gave the men their due respect. Then he reminded them that everyone has a spirit in man that the Almighty works through, which he mentions as a warning to not take his comments lightly just because he was the new kid on the block. So he's dealing with older people, but he's saying, listen, I have a spirit in man, and the Almighty works through me just like he works through elderly people. So just because I'm the new kid on the block, I'm the young pup, that doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention to me. And then next he chides them for not having helped Job in any way. And then finally he lets them know that he won't make the same mistake that they did, for just as he showed them their mistake when he told them that they couldn't point out Job's sins and yet they had condemned him, that he was surely going to show Job his mistake, but he was going to do it in a loving manner. And see, that's the difference. Elihu spoke the truth in love. He had both things. He had the truth and he had love. So he spoke the truth in love and was therefore judging with righteous judgment. And in our next program, we're going to see exactly how he spoke the truth in love to Job. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. Right from the pages of your own Bible, I will first reveal to you the identity of the beast, and secondly reveal to you what is the mark of the beast. I will do this during a free seminar entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? This free seminar will be held on Wednesday, February 14th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the North Lake Barbara Lohr Library, which is located at 3772 La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please, don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you may end up receiving the mark of the beast. Many people will receive the mark of the beast in order to escape the great tribulation, which is Satan's wrath against the people of God. But those who receive the mark of the beast will not escape the day of the Lord, which is God's wrath against the people of disobedience. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.